This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson in Wallace Hall on the campus of Monmouth College. We learned of the passing of former Monmouth College president Bruce Haywood, so I thought we'd take some time to talk with Jeff Rankin, the college historian, on that. Thanks so much for your time.
It's great to be with you, Will, on this rather sad occasion.
It is a sad occasion because in reading about Bruce Haywood, and I want you to start by talking a little bit about him and how he got here, but I would be hard-pressed to argue against putting Bruce Haywood's name at the top of probably a list of names of people that have been integral and important to this college.
Yes, and actually, he really had the longest tenure of any of our modern-day presidents. The last president that had a longer tenure retired in 1952. So he really spanned parts of three decades in a really critical time in the college's history. Many say that he was somewhat responsible for saving the college during a difficult time when some predicted it might actually close.
He was described in a story the college put out that I think you wrote as laying a foundation for dramatic expansion in the 21st century. Explain that.
Well, that's really true. Now, when Dr. Haywood arrived in 1980, the college was at the end of a really tenuous decade. The 1970s began on a high note. We still had a lot of students coming from the East Coast, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. That was before the start of some of the state university systems out there. And also the Vietnam War was still in effect, and a number of students were interested in staying in college as long as they could. But during that time, the college had vastly expanded using government loans to build student residence halls. Now, when the enrollment experienced a precipitous decline starting in about 1972, that created huge problems for the college. The debt on those buildings was actually higher than the college's endowment at the time. And so the remainder of that decade was this time of austerity. We had a wonderful president in the person of DeBeau Freed who got us through that time. And Bruce Haywood came in right at the tail end of that when the college was maybe poised to begin a new era. And he came in realizing it was going to be a challenge. I think, though, one of his primary focuses was academics. And he really wanted to return Monmouth to its national reputation as a quality liberal arts college that had been somewhat lost during that decade when the college was just trying to survive. So he came in, came from Kenyon College, one of the nation's finest liberal arts colleges, where he'd been for 26 years, most recently as provost, and had some really strong ideas about the liberal arts and how he could revitalize Monmouth by revitalizing the curriculum. And that's something he did early on upon coming to Monmouth. There had been an effort underway in the previous year by the faculty to come up with a new curriculum that was an integrated curriculum. In the previous years, the college had general education requirements that basically were finished. You finished those up your first 2 years, and then you got onto your major. Well, this new curriculum was designed to go through all 4 years, and there was a thing called Introduction to Liberal Arts, where all students took the same readings and courses, got them the foothold so they understood the liberal arts. And he was able to pass that during a time when it wasn't easy necessarily to get faculty to agree, but about 2-1, the new curriculum was passed, and that was something he felt he could build upon. Not only did he accomplish that with the help of faculty, but I think he became sort of the spokesman for Monmouth College and sort of brought us to new national attention. We started appearing in the U.S. news among the top regional colleges in the U.S., and we started getting more grants from National Endowment and Lilly and that sort of thing that really drew new attention to the college and its academic excellence.
In terms of revamping the curriculum and that idea of having to sell the faculty on the mission, how did he go about doing that specifically? And is that typically a tough sell?
I don't think it's ever easy. I think we've always said that Monmouth has always seemed to find the right president for the right times, and he seemed to be that person. I think I've talked to some faculty who were here when he arrived, and they were all very excited. This was this young, dynamic, super intelligent person who was, you know, he spoke with a British accent. They were all kind of ready for somebody who sort of had exuded this kind of excitement and just love for the liberal arts. And so I think that helped get people to think together about what we can do to make Monmouth a better academic institution.
Let's get back to the issue of finances, because that seems, again, the other big part of what he had to tackle pretty much from day one, while reinvigorating the curriculum and figuring out, I imagine, how to pay off all this debt and things like that.
Yes, and he used to tell some really interesting stories about when he first came to Monmouth. One of my favorite was when he got invited to speak to the Kewanee Rotary Club, and he arrived early before anybody had shown up, and so he was there when the first member came in and said, who are you? He says, well, I'm your speaker. He says, well, where are you from? He says, well, I'm the new president of Monmouth College, and the Rotarian replied, I thought they had closed 3 or 4 years ago. So he knew right from the beginning that he had a challenge. And that challenge got a huge boost in 1981. There was a 25th reunion dinner for the class of 1956. And one of the attendees was a former accountant who had sort of lost touch with the college. His name was Walter Huff. And in the meantime, he had gone to, well, he was from Peoria. He had worked with the nuns at OSF and worked with some partners to introduce electronic record keeping to the healthcare industry, and created a company called HBO and made a very substantial fortune. Well, Monmouth College had totally lost track of Walter Huff. And when he heard Bruce Haywood speak at the dinner about his vision for Monmouth College, he was so impressed that he immediately wrote a check, and Bruce was rather blown away by that, because in his history as a provost and president, nobody had ever just written him a check. And he said that represented about half of his salary that year, which was rather impressive to him. So not long after that, they were really interested in completing the former capital campaign, which was to build a new gymnasium so he could move on to a greater capital campaign. So he went to Atlanta, where Mr. Haywood lived, and presented a proposal. And as a result of that, not only did Walter Huff agree to give a gift to help finish the gymnasium, but he pledged a $5 million gift to Monmouth College, which was unprecedented, and it was one of the largest gifts to higher education in 1983. So when that was presented, that just revolutionized things, because Monmouth College trustees and alumni just weren't, they hadn't been cultivated to make major gifts in the past. And
was it really that simple? It sounds like that that other alumni saw what Walter Huff did and said, I can do that.
Well, I don't know that they said they can do that, but there were alumni of means who had never really been asked, you know, and when they were asked and they saw that he was he was an inspiration to them, that he was saying, this is a worthwhile investment. That sort of started the ball rolling, and that allowed, slowly at first, but it allowed the college to build its endowment. It went from $4 million when Bruce started to $24 million when he retired in 1994. So that was a period of just, at the time, pretty remarkable growth. He began toward the end of his presidency what was called a campaign called Forward to the 21st Century, which was really the first major campaign in the college's history, and it not only went towards building, but also towards the endowment. The other thing that that I think we can credit Dr. Haywood with is the enrollment. And enrollment was always a problem, and he had long said that you need to have a base enrollment of 800 students to have long-term viability, and that 800 number kept coming up. And Monmouth, of course, back in the 60s, was up to over 1,200 students, but it kept sinking and sinking. And finally, by 1992, and that was actually the year that I started and Bruce Haywood hired me, the enrollment had dipped below 600, which was just devastating, and we had to make cuts and that sort of thing at the time. So as a result, he announced a new program called the Monmouth Plan, and this was a new way to really help middle-class families because they were being squeezed out of the higher education market, and that was basically to match funding, financial aid, so that we would sort of back 47% of the students' college education and make Monmouth as affordable as going to a state's flagship institution. And that really had the effect of turning things around. A lot of other colleges copied the Monmouth plan. And as a result, within a few years after Haywood's retirement, enrollment basically doubled over its low point. So I think we really have to give him credit for that determination that something had to be done, and that was the time that it actually needed to be done.
I'm a little short on time, but just a couple of more things. And I hadn't realized till you said it just now that you were hired by Bruce Haywood. What was he like as a person to work with?
Well, he was just a really genuine individual, really interesting to talk to intellectually. He was kind of a private person. He was somebody that was a wonderful public speaker, but he confided in people that he didn't really enjoy public speaking. He liked to be behind the scenes, but yet he was very inspirational. He had a wonderful speaking voice, and he was able to, I think, turn minds. And so, you know, he was rather low key, but he was just kind of a joy to work for because he had come from fairly humble circumstances. You know, he knew both the highs and lows of life. He had a really interesting career growing up in England.
I was just going to say that. He, as low-key as he is, he has, as evidenced by even a couple of books he wrote, he has an amazing story to tell that, frankly, has nothing to do with Monmouth College, that all of this stuff that happened in his life well before academia.
Yeah, that's right. He wrote a memoir of his early days in Yorkshire, coal mining area. His father, I think, was a bus driver. And he really wanted to get out of that circumstance, and he aspired to come, I think, to the United States. So after studying there in Leeds, he emigrated to Canada and got his bachelor's and Ph.D. At McGill. Then he went to Harvard, and from Harvard went to Kenyon. So, but he always, what always impressed me was he wanted to be an American. He finally got his American citizenship, and you know, while he was, you know, proud of being British, I think he was more proud of being American. And that, and one just small anecdote was when he built the new Wells Theater in 1990, one of his major contributions, he insisted that it be spelled the American way, theater with an E-R. All of our other, our Fusion Theater downtown and that sort of thing has the traditional British R-E. But
I was going to say, there's nothing else in this area that's spelled that way.
Right, but I think that was part of his determination to be an American and celebrate what was great about this country.
And it sounds like by the basis of the fact that he retired to Galesburg that he really stayed involved in, I would imagine, in the college even after he retired and stayed involved in the area too, did he not?
Yes, I think he was interested in the culture, that which is rather strong for a rural area like Monmouth and Galesburg, and he realized there was a lot to be offered in this area. And after the death of his first wife, he met Mary Bailey in Galesburg, and that really started a whole second life for him. And I think he just really relished being close to Monmouth and Knox and just loved the Midwest.
Jeff Rankin, Monmouth College historian and editor, thanks so much for your time, and thanks for sharing a little bit of Bruce Haywood's history about and importance to Monmouth College.
Thank you, Will. It was a pleasure.
Bruce Haywood was 94 years old, and at last check, services were pending for him. But, of course, we'll have more details on that when those come out. Stay tuned. We'll have sports and more coming up on Galesburg's Evening News back in downtown Galesburg on WGIL.